Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I had a friend tell me one time, a wise man of God said, what you need to do is write down every day. There's only five things you can do, only five, on your list, on your to-do list. The first one is automatically you get up in the morning. That's part of you. Okay, now you only have four left. And the last thing of the day is you go to bed at night. So now you only have three things left. You write down three things that you must accomplish that day, and that's it. And you know what? That was very freeing because you don't really have to get everything done at one particular time like you think you do. You really need to listen to God, and He's not in a hurry. He can help you get things done. Today is Office Administrator's Day, and Jenny Heiberger has been our office administrator for 16-plus years. And take a bow, Jenny. You're up there. Are you up there? There she is. She's up there working the PowerPoint for us. 16 years. You've been very faithful, a joy to work with. And I was telling Jenny today, I said, I really mean it, Jenny. You are a joy, and you serve the Lord with gladness. And I thank you for that, because not everybody's done that. One church we were at a long time ago, not this church, we had the church secretary from hell. That's what I'm trying to tell them. This woman had problems, but every time she would answer the phone, and then they'd connect me to her for me to the phone, the person would almost always say, "Who in the world's working there at that office? What is their problem?" And I'd have to apologize and apologize and apologize, and she just had a terrible attitude and had a lot of issues. And I was so happy the day that she resigned. I was so thankful, and because we just couldn't seem to help her. But Jenny is a joy and a gift from God to all of us, and I'd encourage you to tell her that and maybe give her a gift or bless her with something. Just tell her how much you appreciate her. She does so much behind the scenes. No one ever knows. All right, so here's the question. Healing, we're talking about healing. Why doesn't everybody get healed when we pray? That's a good question, isn't it? Yeah. You ever wondered that? Yeah. Okay. Well, here's a scripture that will kind of take us where we're going to go tonight. In Matthew 17, when Jesus and his disciples came to the crowd, a man came to him and knelt before him saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often in the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. I brought him to the healing service, and he didn't get healed." Now, I want you to notice something about the man, first of all, and it's just something I want to point out. Notice he said his son is an epileptic. He may not have actually used that word, but he used a word, you know, like a lunatic, actually. That he's just, you know, he goes berserk and out of control. And I want to say something to you that you may not think is all that important, but it is. Your words are powerful. And you need to be careful that you don't take ownership of something God didn't give you. Don't say things, and I know we don't mean it necessarily, but you got to realize the devil is a legalist and he uses your own words against you. Don't say things like, "My arthritis, my diabetes, my cancer." Don't give it a permanent address in you.
That's right.
You may have it right now, and it may be attacking your body, but it's only temporary. It's not going to stay. Don't claim it. Don't own it. Your words are powerful. Life and death and the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. You say, "Well, that's just minor." No, no, it's very powerful. Your words. Start with your words. And so we notice this man said, "This is, you know, my son, he has this and this." and all that. But I just say that to you. And now I want you to understand something. Jesus gives the answer to this question, why isn't everybody healed? And he enlightens us and the disciples in the next verses. He goes on to say, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon. He came out of him. The child was healed instantly. And then the disciples came to him and asked Jesus privately, now why couldn't we do that? That's a legitimate question. Very valid question. They had been casting out demons. They had been healing people. It had been happening a lot. So that's a valid question. This is the same question we're asking today about healing. Why isn't everybody healed when we pray for them, Lord? It's the same question. Why isn't everybody healed when we pray for them? Notice Jesus was somewhat disappointed with his disciples because they obviously had power. They weren't just the average person on the street. They'd been healing people. They'd been casting out demons. They had anointing. They had power that was supernatural. But something had happened to them. What was it? Why could we not cast him out, they said. And Jesus' answer is real specific. He says, say it with me. Because of your unbelief. Very specific. Now, this is going to be enlightening to you tonight. You're going to see something that you probably have never seen before in this regard. Notice that Jesus did not say, he did not say, because you have no faith. He didn't say they didn't have faith. Notice he didn't say, it's not because your faith is not strong enough. He didn't say that. He said specifically, it's because of your what? Unbelief. So here's something I want you to understand tonight that you may have never understood before. You can be operating in faith. They obviously were operating in faith. They prayed for the boy. They tried to cast out the demon. You can't have faith and not do that. They had faith. But at the same time, they had unbelief. They had faith and they had unbelief. How can you have faith and unbelief at the same time? I see a bunch of question marks popped over your heads. How can you have faith and at the same time, unbelief? Well, Jesus clarifies this in another particular scripture, Matthew 21:21. I'd like you to see that. Jesus said to them, because of your, 21:21, next scripture, please. There you go. Jesus said, truly I say unto you, if you have faith and, come on, speak it out loud, doubt not. You shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, which he had cursed and it was already withered up, but you'll say to the mountain, be thou removed, cast to sea, and it'll be done. Notice, Jesus is saying, you have to believe without doubting. Now, if it were not possible to believe and have doubt at the same time, Jesus wouldn't have said not to do this. But you have faith and not doubt. Now, let me try to help you understand this. The Gospel of Mark records the same story, and it adds some details that these other accounts don't have. After Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to the father. The father of the child just burst out in desperation. Lord, I believe, but help my... Now, if he had spoken error, Jesus would have corrected him. But Jesus didn't correct him. In other words, this is true. You can have faith and you can have unbelief going on at the same time. Now, do we have the picture of the horse and the wagons up here? Okay. try to picture, if you will, we have a wagon, and this wagon is strapped or has a horse on this side pulling it in this direction, and a horse on this side pulling it in another opposite direction. The horses are equal strength. One horse is faith, one horse is unbelief. And so when you get them both working at the same time, this is a picture of faith working and unbelief working at the same time. You don't go anywhere. Nothing happens. Are you with me? Faith and unbelief in the same person, in the same work. Do you know that Romans 12:3 says that God gives to every believer a measure of faith? No one has to say to God, "God, give me faith." God has given you faith if you're a believer. Romans 12:3, you already have it. You have a measure of faith, Mac. You have a measure of faith for your life because God knew before you were born the trials that you're going to face, the difficulties you're going to have. And so He put into you the measure of faith you would need so that you could live your life successfully like Jesus wants you to live it. Elaine, you have faith for your life. You have a measure of faith. Johnny, you have the measure of faith. You have the measure of faith you need, Richard. It's already there. You don't have to ask God, "Give me faith." That's an unbelief prayer. He says you already have it. You have the measure of faith that you need, Andrew. You got it. Everybody say, "Amen, I got it." Now, the faith you have is sufficient for every trial that's going to come into your life. If cancer comes your way, you already have the faith to overcome cancer. Heart disease comes to you, you already have the faith necessary to overcome. God has already pre-planted it inside of you. Well, somebody ought to get excited and say, "Amen, hallelujah." Okay. Well, now, the Lord is pointing out something to us here in this scripture, in this teaching tonight, that we need to see. We should be asking the question, why don't we see more miracles, more signs, and more wonders in our life, Lord? Why don't we see more? We have faith. We believe God. We pray to God. We even pray for people. We even attempt to cast devils out of people. We have faith. But the problem is, we also must have unbelief. And the unbelief is negating the faith. The unbelief is working against your faith. Your faith is trying to take you somewhere. Your faith is trying to get you to see miracles, signs, and wonders that God wants to happen. But at the same time, you got faith pulling you in the opposite direction. I mean, unbelief. So the same way, so we have to ask ourselves, well, how does this unbelief come? Unbelief comes the same way faith comes. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Faith comes that way, by hearing. Unbelief comes by hearing, and hearing what unbelief says, and hearing what doubt says. So faith comes by hearing. Do you know that unbelief is actually belief? Unleaded gas is still gasoline. Unbelief is still belief. Belief in the wrong direction. It's belief that's pulling you back. It's believing the wrong direction. So when we focus our attention on God, and we focus on what His Word says and the promises that He's given us, then our faith rises up. That's why it's important to give testimonies. And when you have, before you have a healing service, it's great to have 3, 4, 5 testimonies of people that experienced a healing power of God. It builds people's faith. They hear, "Well, if God did that for you, that's what I need in my life. Then He'll do it for me." And so testifying is important. It's important to give glory to God and testify when something great like that has happened in your life. So when we focus our attention on God, we focus our attention on His Word, our faith automatically rises. It's not difficult. We focus ourselves on the world, or we focus ourselves on our symptoms. We focus ourselves on our pains. which it's going to always be there screaming at you, then unbelief rises. And it overpowers our faith. And it talks us out of it. And then we wind up saying, well, nothing happened. Whose voice you listening to? I like what you said, Dan, that I heard that about how, you know, there was a battle there for a while in your body. Your body's going to scream at you, and the symptoms are going to scream at you. And you're going to have to deal with those voices, and that's the unbelief is trying to rise up. Everybody has some degree of unbelief in them. You do. And it isn't that we need more faith. We need to get rid of the unbelief. Now, to decrease our unbelief, we have to decrease the influence where unbelief is affecting us. Maybe it's our body talking to us. You know, Abraham was, what was he, almost 100 years old before he had a child? And the Bible says, you know, he was like 1 foot in the grave and 1 foot on a banana peel. He didn't look like he was healthy or could certainly father a child. And Sarah, you know, she was in 90s and her womb wasn't prepared to have a child, if anything, at 90 years old. And look at them. The Bible says of Abraham that he considered not his own body. So evidently, his body had been talking to him. His body was saying, you know, when he got up in the morning, you can't have a child. You can't even hardly walk. You're so old, you're decaying. Look at yourself in the mirror. You can't have a child. You're just wishful thinking, man. That's long gone. He considered not his own body. I do believe that there are many battles, and I think you went through one, Dan, and you're probably still going to have to fight some of it off, okay? But the enemy is by saying, I'm not going to consider my body. I'm considering God's word above what I feel, what I think, and what I say, and what doctors tell me. Thank you for all the believers in here. Believe that. It's going to be a battle. It is going to be a battle. Unbelief is battling against your faith right now, trying to talk you out of it, you know. So we have to decrease our unbelief to decrease the influence of unbelief against our faith. And sometimes that's our bodies talking to us. Sometimes we listen to doctor's reports too much. Yes, you should listen to a doctor, and it's fine to go to a doctor and so forth, but you need to go to God's Word. What does God's Word say about this? Look, actually, we're not waiting for God to heal us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes we were healed. Now, either you believe that or you just try to talk yourself out of that. Either that's just a nice little scripture to tell people, or you actually believe it. And you got to decide. I can't decide that for you. You're going to come to a time in your life where you're either going to claim that and see the manifestation of it in your life, or you're going to say, nah, that doesn't really work. That's why I encouraged people the other night. I said, you know, after the healing service, and we had so many testimonies, people said, yeah, right away, the pain was gone, this was gone, that was gone. And I was just utterly amazed by that. I was thrilled by it. But I do know what the enemy's going to do. He's going to come right back at them before they get to their car, before they get to their house, and he's going to flare up some symptoms to them and say, now see there, you didn't get healed. You still hurt. You're still in pain. There's been no change. And yet they believed God for healing. And now the devil goes to work to talk them out of it. I'm just going to preach over here to somebody over here. Maybe y'all agree with me. You know, I remember when you get saved, one of the very first things that happens is the devil comes along, tries to talk you out of salvation. Nothing happened to you. You didn't really get saved. Look at you. You still got the same sinful habits. You still got the same attitude. You didn't get saved. That's just a bunch of bunk. You believe that stuff? He did that same thing with salvation. And you finally had to fight it off and say, no, I am saved. And you went back to the Word, and it says that he that believeth on me is saved. And you believed the Word, and I called on the name of the Lord, like it says right here. He says, you're saved. And he says, he who believes in me has eternal life. He says, I believe that, and I have eternal life. I have it, and devil, you can't talk me out of it anymore. You finally fought him off. You fought off the unbelief. You got to do the same thing for healing or any other thing that you're believing God for. You have to do the same thing. It's no different. By his stripes, we were healed. Either that is true or God has lied to us. And you ought to be to the point right now. You say, that's just too late for that. You can't talk me out of it. Faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unbelieved. And people will bring up things like, well, what about Paul? Paul said he had this thorn in the flesh. What was that thorn in the flesh? A messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. A lot of people like to say, well, see, Paul suffered with sickness. And then they'll use a passage in Scripture in Galatians to where he says, well, see what large letters I write, whatever. They said, well, see, he had trouble with his eyes. No, not at all. If you look up the phrase thorn in the flesh, Paul was not the first one to use that phrase. That phrase, thorn in the flesh, did not originate with him. He was using a metaphor that was used in the Old Testament. And the thorn in the flesh was often used to describe people who were persecuting Christians, believers. And Paul, every town he went to, man, he caused a riot. And mostly the church people got upset with him, ran him out of town. And the religious people. And he got tired of it, and he said, Lord, everywhere I go, I preach your gospel. I do it under your anointing. I heal the sick, cast out devils. And man, the people just cause me such a headache. Can you put a stop to this? And God says, I'll give you my grace, and that's really all you need. My grace will be sufficient for it. Don't worry about it. He actually used that persecution and everything to toughen Paul up and make him strong, and probably in a multitude of other ways we may never know. So the thorn in the flesh was not a sickness. It was not an infirmity like that. God wants you well. He doesn't send you sickness to teach you a lesson. He doesn't cripple you and give you back problems to make you learn a lesson from him. So what do we do with sickness and pain and disease? Well, we have to realize sickness, pain, disease is going to speak to us. Unbelief is going to speak to us. Unbelief speaks, and it usually comes through our own voice. How we start talking about, how we feel. Someone asked Smith Wigglesworth one day, says, Smith, how do you feel? He said, I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he feels. Doesn't matter what Smith Wigglesworth feels. I mean, he got upset about it. Preached a whole sermon to this guy. He said, don't ask Smith Wigglesworth. It's not important how Smith Wigglesworth feels. And in his 80s, he'd get up in the morning, and his routine was, he said to somebody, told somebody, so how do you start off your day? He said, first thing I do is when I get out of bed in the morning, he says, I dance vigorously for 10 minutes before the Lord. I dance before the Lord for about 10 minutes. And then after that, he says, and I go read my Bible and for an hour or whatever it is, and I pray for another hour. He said, that's how I begin my day. 80 years old. Dancing for 10 minutes straight. That's pretty good aerobic exercise, wouldn't you say? And so he did not allow unbelief to affect him, and he would really guard his heart against it. Lester Summerall later on records when Smith Wigglesworth was an old man and Lester Summerall was a young man, he went to visit him and became friends with him. And he says in his testimony that one day when he was there in England where he lived, he went by to Smith Wigglesworth's house and found him there, and he invited him, started to invite him in to his house. And Smith said, "What's that under your arm?" He said, "It's just a newspaper." He said, "You can come in, but you leave it outside." "Why is that? It's just a newspaper." And Smith was guarding his heart so much that they would come in and he said they would sit down and visit. They would read scripture for about 30 minutes together. This was every visit. Then they'd pray together. He kept his mind focused on God. He kept his faith fueled, and he wouldn't allow even a newspaper to come into his house because he felt like the newspaper would be an avenue where unbelief would come in. And look what God did with the man who was not an educated man, who was a plumber. He wasn't an educated man. He wasn't an educated preacher. He was a plumber. But he guarded his heart against unbelief. And God did all kinds of miracles, signs and wonders and books written all about his life and ministry because he guarded himself against unbelief. Unbelief usually comes through your own voice. Now, why I tell you that is because you've got to be careful, and it's a habit for us. We have to make sure we quit complaining and getting up in the morning and first start to vent out loud how we feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. You need to say that to yourself. I don't ask myself how I feel anymore. You need to say that to yourself. And you get in the habit of saying that, you know. Because you start venting your feelings. "Well, you know, my feet hurt. Oh, my teeth hurt. My back hurts. And I didn't sleep good." And it's just a habit. And you're just getting in the habit of doing this every single day. You're rehearsing this. And you're just bringing unbelief all over you instead of faith. Faith speaks. Unbelief speaks, comes through your own voice. How does faith speak? Faith speaks, and it comes through your voice too. Comes through your own voice. Listen to the words of Jesus, Mark 11:23. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea," and read this part with me, "and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he..." You are weak in that. Come on. What he says. Power of your words. Your words are important. Your words are either bringing in unbelief or they're bringing in faith. It is. And it's your choice. It's your choice. I noticed Roger Webb would, sometimes he'd speak to the pain. And sometimes, some incidents, he'd just command the pain to leave. And some incidents, he'd just ask, "Lord, just take the pain away." And then he'd ask the people, "Well, did the pain go? How many people did you hear say, 'Yeah, the pain's gone'?" I heard quite a few. I heard more say it went than some say no. And so, here's a point here to this. Jesus said that if you speak or say to the mountain, "Be removed, cast in the sea," and don't doubt in your heart, then you'll have what you say. In other words, Harry, speak to the specific issue. You have a pain in your shoulder. Speak to the pain. Speak to it. That's the mountain. That's your mountain. That's your... Speak to the pain. If it's burning pain, speak to the burning pain. Be specific. Exercise your authority. Tell it to leave in Jesus' name. And do not doubt. Jesus told us to do this. I'm not picking up. There's a really strong faith atmosphere here right now for that. I'm not asking for amens. I appreciate you saying that. But maybe you're pondering it, but you know what? We should all be way past that by now. Amen. We should be past it. Yeah, Kathy, come on up here. Sure. Don't be claiming that. Don't be claiming anxious. Come on.
This is totally this morning. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that's considered a double negative. Mm-hmm. So every time you've been hurt or been hit, it's because of you've lowered your shield of faith. The enemy is always ready to fire his missiles at you. There's no ceasefire in war. Yes. And that's totally been hitting me because I was cleaning house today. And I had to speak over because I start getting uncomfortable. I start getting the backache and that. And it's like I pulled out my little scripture and just started speaking it. And I am healed, and I am healed. And you went to the cross for me, and you just keep fighting. I fight back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Don't take a beating from the devil. That's right. Fight back. Fight back. Resist him. The Bible says resist him. Luke 10:19. Yeah, Luke 10:19, Gary. 1 John. Amen. Amen. And James 4:7, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee. Resist him. You got to resist him. Richard, you got to resist him. You got to resist him. You got to resist the devil. How do you do that? That's not just a little theological thing we say in church. That's something you practically got to do in your life. You've got to resist him. You've got to resist him. And so Jesus told us, you'll have whatsoever things you say. And so you keep. So what if you did it one time and the pain is still there? You keep speaking. Keep speaking. Keep speaking. Don't just try it once to see if it works. And then say, well, nothing happened. Stay in faith. Keep saying what God says. King Hezekiah in the Old Testament was a great king. He was a good king. And he was very, very sick. Prophet Isaiah was sent to him by God with a word. He gets an audience with the king, the prophet does, and he says, I have a word for you, king. And the king says, well, what is it? He said, the word is this, set your house in order, you're going to die. That'd encourage your heart, wouldn't it? Set your house in order, you're going to die. And then Hezekiah, scripture says he did this. Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and he prayed. He turned his face toward the wall, away from Isaiah, who probably left, and away from the court people there, all of his servants. He turned his face away from everybody, and he prayed. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to hear anybody. I don't want to look at anybody's expressions. I don't want to pick up on their emotions. I'm just going to talk to God. It says, and he prayed. He turned his face toward the wall. He focused on God and eliminated all distractions. I got to talk to God. And he said basically to the Lord, Lord, I got things to do yet. I'm not ready to die yet. I got things to do in my life. I got unfulfilled destiny. I got dreams that I want to see accomplished. I got things that I want to do. And he poured his heart out to God. And before Isaiah left the palace gardens, the Lord spoke to him and said, Isaiah, go back in there and tell the king he's got 15 more years. Hezekiah, by the way, is the only person ever in history who knew the exact time he's going to die. You got 15 more years from this day. He could have marked it down. This day, 15 years, I'm dying. Isaiah. So, he's got 15 more years. Here's the point of that story. When Hezekiah heard God come through the prophet, come back in and say, you got 15 more years, you're not going to die. He didn't feel any difference in his body. He didn't feel better physically. He probably didn't look different. All he had was one word from God. That's all he had. And that's all he needed. That's all you need. That's all you need. That's all you need is one word from God. And notice, he didn't wait till he felt something before he believed it. He believed the prophet, and he prospered as a result of it. He didn't believe. He didn't go around and say, well, when I see it, I'll believe it. Jesus said, and you just heard his words, you read it yourself, Jesus said, you have to believe it before you're going to see it. In other words, Scripture tells you and I, believers, start calling things that are not as though they were. Now, that'll make you weird. Start calling things that are not as though they were. That's what Abraham did. I'm a father of a multitude. Really? How many children you got? None. But I'm a father of a multitude. You call things that are not as though they were. Are you with me? That's what you and I have to do. And so what we need is just one word from God, and we got a whole book of them. And we start praising God and thanking God for the word that he gave us. By his stripes you were healed. Well, hallelujah. I'm healed. I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. Hallelujah. I am healed. You say you're going to look like a fool and everybody look at you. No, you're still crippled. You still, no. Hallelujah. I am healed. Don't ask me what other people think about me, because that doesn't matter. Don't ask me how I feel, because that doesn't matter. It only matters what God says. You have to eliminate all this unbelief that's trying to crowd you in and steal and rob and negate your faith. You've got to fight against that. Stand against it. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Resist unbelief. Stay in faith. Would you stand together with me? And I'd like you to make this a confession out loud with your own voice. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. And I believe your words to me. I believe your words more than what I see or what I feel. I may not see how things are going to turn around. But I believe you've already made a way. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your healing. I'm getting better. I'm getting healthier. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting more successful every day of my life. Now, just spend a few moments praising God and thanking him and honoring him and praise him out loud right now. And absolutely vanquish all unbelief. Praise vanquishes unbelief. Just praise him and learn to live in praise. Learn to rejoice in the Lord. He never changes. His word is true. He is faithful. He promised and he will do whatever he promised you. He will do whatever he gave you. Whatever prophetic word you have, hold on to it. Don't ever let go. Believe God. Believe him and prosper. Trust him. He is true. He is faithful. He cannot lie. Believe his word. Praise God. Honor God. Stop complaining. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your word. It's a good reminder to us tonight. We thank you for feeding us your word. We thank you, Lord, for helping us to get stronger in faith and vanquish all unbelief. Thank you, God. We're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. We're going to see healings. We're going to see salvation. We're going to see things happen that there are no answer for except the Lord did it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you.